This session is the Windows Phone State of the Nation. So my name is David Glover, and I've been kind of responsible for looking after the developer, really around the developer ecosystem around Windows Phone, probably forever, but certainly obviously for the last 3 years, but I've always kind of had a big interest in Windows and the mobile world. I'm also really excited, and his kind of timing just worked out fantastically well, so you may have questions, but we've also got joining the session today with two folk from Nokia. So we've got Nick Abbott, who's the head of the developer experience based in Australia, and obviously just a great guy to connect with if you want to ask questions or you want to get something featured or if you just want some help and guidance and advice. We've also got Srikanth Raju, who's the head of the developer experience for the region, for APAC region. So again, a great person to connect with and just talk about you know, what your aspirations are potentially as well. We've also got the speakers from all the sessions that are in the Windows Phone track. And woohoo! And their role, they have accepted it, and I did ask them, is to really sell you on why you should be going to the Windows Phone track for the whole of TechEd, because it clearly will be the best track at the event, and scores of 5 and above are absolutely appreciated for all the sessions. So, but anyway, there will be a lot of really great content covered over the week around Windows Phone. So as I said, there's a bit of an update from Microsoft and from ourselves and from Nokia. And as I said, there's a bit of a sneak peek at what the week will hold for you in terms of content and sessions to go to. And as with all these events, please connect with us. So there's a Microsoft stand. I'm pretty recognizable for some reason around the place. So just tap me on the shoulder if you want to talk to me. There's a Nokia stand. There's Nick, Randolph, the Shane, all the guys here who are going to be talking later on. Just talk to them about what you want to do and tap them up for some advice and guidance or things like that. So don't be shy. Okay, just in terms of where we've got to. So over the last 3 years, it's obviously been a massive reset around Windows Phone. And yes, we've got a long way to go, but it's really exciting and we're absolutely making progress. And we really have brought to market something which is unique in terms of devices out there, unique in your experience. You're seeing the developer ecosystem build and build. Devices are getting better, more recognized. There's a real lot of excitement out there. If you're already in the Microsoft camp and you're already a .NET developer, you'll appreciate that those skills translate ever so well across into the mobile environment, whether you're building mobile devices or Azure services or desktop apps or whatever it might be. The skills you have translate marvelously well to this, and you're just seeing the ecosystem and devices out there building up out there. There is something like 170,000 apps now in the marketplace, so that's really come forward. And if you've got a Windows Phone device, how many people have got Windows Phone devices? So, great. How many people here have published apps? It's a fair, smaller number. Okay, well, hopefully we can turn that around, so in terms of apps. But there's, and again, if you're on the Windows Phone ecosystem, today you would have noticed there's a real increase in cadence in terms of updates coming through or new apps coming through. So you're seeing the quality is really improving, the number and range of apps is really coming through, again, really improving. And there's some great quotes in here from The Verge, the number of apps and games launched has improved in recent weeks, etc. So you're seeing lots of great momentum, great vibe coming out through the industry. Microsoft is so invested in adding Windows Phone apps to the ecosystem. Again, we're absolutely committed to this world, and clearly with this whole merging going on with the Nokia devices and services and Microsoft, you can just see that continued investment. Evernote, if you're an Evernote fan, they absolutely love the platform out there. So again, Evernote is seeing an increasing usage of its Windows Phone apps and things like that. So again, great bits of evidence around the overall momentum of the platform. In terms of things like growth, so you're seeing growing 6 times faster than the overall smartphone market. We've enjoyed 130% growth in terms of year on year, last year or so. We're now outselling BlackBerry in 31 markets, and what may come as a surprise, we're also outselling iPhone in a number of markets as well. So sometimes we get kind of blinded with what's going on in Australia. My recommendation is to really kind of understand the broader picture, and I know that's going to be a lot of the discussion in the Nokia section about making sure that you understand the broader picture of what's going on and the opportunity out there in the market. Absolutely a maturing platform. You're seeing continued investments, again, from ourselves and from third parties. So if you if you're more on the casual developer side, the hobbyist developer, there's a new property that we just announced called this phone App Studio. And a great way for getting on board and just building kind of casual apps. If you're, I don't know, maybe you're supporting a sports team or something like that, or a local club or something like those sides. You'll also see continuing maturity around frameworks. So certainly since the last time we were here last year, organizations like or platforms like Unity are now running on Windows Phone, Windows 8, and across obviously on other platforms. There's a massive opportunity for people to be able to move games onto the Windows Phone platform, and that's exactly what we're seeing. So really great support there out of the Unity world. Most of us now need to grapple with building for multiple platforms. So just saying you're going to build for iOS is no longer going to cut it, or just Android, or just Windows Phone. So there are frameworks like Xamarin out there, which enable you to go and build applications in C# and really target the .NET frameworks, and but making that cross-platform. So again, with one code base, certainly around the business logic, you can go and build that once in C# and basically recompile that onto and effectively deploy that onto iOS or Android or Windows Phone. Clearly, you need to go and do work around UI and all those types of things that are more platform-specific. You see control vendor maturity. So we've got people here from Infragistics. So David, put your hand up. So he'll be talking a bit about what's going on in the Infragistics world. And we've got John here from Telerik. And again, both these vendors are doing just massive amount of work. And really, those controls and that environment for rapid application development is really maturing. And again, you'll be able to see those. And various frameworks like Kellerman Micro and various MVV-like frameworks and things like that. So that's pretty much all I want to cover just from the Microsoft angle. So I'll be back, but for now I'd like to hand over to Srikanth, and we'll talk about the Nokia angle and perspective on the marketplace. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, everyone. Is this working okay? Wonderful. Thanks again for this opportunity. I myself am a developer from Silicon Valley, working for a number of companies, from Borland, Oracle, Sun. And so it is one of my favorite things, absolute favorite things to do, is to be in front of developers. And the last time I did it was like more than a dozen years ago for Sun Microsystems. So thanks again for this wonderful opportunity. First, let me clarify some things. As Dave alluded, I am sure all of us came across the announcements from Nokia and Microsoft yesterday. All I will say at this time is, personally, I'm absolutely thrilled for what this means for the overall Windows ecosystem, the Windows Phone ecosystem, and especially for developers. However, that's all I'm going to say, okay, given that the announcement came less than 24 hours ago, and we are going to learn a lot more about all the details and so forth. So suffice it to say that it is great for the overall health of the ecosystem, for our consumers, and for developers. And instead, what I'm going to talk about is where the Windows Phone ecosystem is. It is the state of the nation, right? And the cool things that you have done to help the ecosystem gain traction amongst your own kind, the developers, as well as with the consumers. And also, what you can do locally to take your apps and gain the notoriety and popularity and maximize the return on your investment on this Windows Phone ecosystem, working with your local partners, i.e. Nokia and Microsoft here in Australia. But before we go to any of that, I want to open it up with a wonderful news. How many of you here have heard of this device called Nokia Lumia 1020? So, wonderful. There are a few hands that did not go up. But so just to bring everyone up to speed, Lumia 1020 is the latest Lumia with 41 megapixel optics, optical image stabilization, beautiful design language, wonderful opportunities for developers to showcase their innovation in the imaging space. And this was announced in New York about a month ago. And I'm thrilled to announce and share with you developers that an announcement went earlier today that this device is now available in Australia. Great news, and you will get a lot more information about the availability and the pricing and so forth at the Nokia booth, and my colleagues and teammates will also give you more information as we go along, okay? With that, let's see what we've been doing with all of you together in this ecosystem. A couple of years ago, when we started to embark upon this journey, we basically started off, okay, the announcement was February 2011, and we were looking at less than 10,000 apps. And if we just fast forward the clock to where we are now, we are looking at 170,000 apps. Great. The numbers are very much there. And what's more important than that sheer number, let's peel the layer of that onion a little bit, and let's look at a few more data points here. First of all, Windows Phone 8 SDK is a very important release for the Windows Phone ecosystem, because that made it possible for the device and the marketplace and the app hub and the local language support literally across the globe, okay? And as a result of that, we started to gain more consumers. The devices are taking traction like you won't believe it. The devices are also introduced in price points from roughly $125-$130 all the way up to $800. And I'm talking street price here, obviously, in markets such as Australia with operator subsidies and the US and other markets like that, the prices will vary. The point here is that there is a great diversity and there is a great variance with regard to the price points that cater to the needs and the affordability of different consumer segments around the world. And the features have become so appealing to those consumers, and that's very important even for the developers, and I will explain in a few seconds why. Is that, that demand has actually in turn helped developers gain that additional motivation to start producing apps in regular increments. So we now have over 15,000 new applications that are submitted with the Windows Phone 8 SDKs. The number of new developers, Dave mentioned this earlier, we constantly are engaging with more and more developers on a daily basis across the globe, and definitely in Australia that is very much true. And again, I briefly touched on this earlier. It's a business, developers are here, they need to bring food to the table. And so the revenues on the apps has been increasing tremendously, 91% increase in paid app revenue. And part of the reason is because A, we got the devices that appeal to multitude of consumers, and B, this was another cool thing in this partnership of Nokia and Microsoft, where Nokia already had existing operator billing agreements with global operator base across 180 plus countries. And now increasingly that operator billing is being leveraged, and operator billing is now increasingly being made available on the Windows Phone Store, enabling the consumers in those markets to pay for apps and games with their phone bill instead of having to use an international credit cards and so forth. And our consumers like it. And the revenue numbers that we see is proof in pudding right there. And the other point to note is that it's not just that the app downloads are happening in certain isolated markets. As you all know, the largest smartphone market in the world is in China. And the largest Windows Phone downloads in the world is also happening in China. And today, the momentum is happening in such a manner, and I will actually have some specific numbers on the average downloads per device, per market, and so forth later on. But the point that I want to make here in this slide is that, when you create your app from Australia, you got to think of a global consumer base, because your app is going to be downloaded not just by your consumers in Australia, the few millions here, but actually by the hundreds of millions across the globe. And that's where you are going to maximize your reach and maximize your revenue potential if that is your business model. And we are here to help you. And you will learn a lot more details about this in this session and throughout the show, and hopefully long after the show is over, through regular correspondences with us. Okay, then the last point that I want to talk about is the simple fact that, you know, now, as you know, the platforms are coming together, the big windows, the tablets, and the phone. You have a true multi-platform strategy. And so you got to think about, when you think about your addressable market size, it is a sum of all of these, okay? And this is where the strength of the partnership is going to work for you, okay? You create your code, you know, right ones, and you deploy it across the different form factors and across different device families, across different markets. Now we are talking, okay? That's true business. Now, some more numbers here. The average revenue per app is now second only to iOS. I mean, iOS has established business model. They've been around far longer than this Windows Phone ecosystem. But in the short 2 years, the revenue per app per device is now higher on Windows Phone than on Android devices. This according to Vision Mobile Developer Economics. This has also turned into another recent survey by another analyst firm a couple of months ago, where overwhelming majority of developers, you know, close to 6,000 or 7,000 developers who were polled by Strategy Analytics, have said that they now have Windows Phone as the platform that they will prioritize their innovations in. The cool thing is, you know, I'm talking to the converted here, right? You guys are the Windows developers or Windows Phone developers. It's all the same platform. And so the bottom line is, now you start to see the migration and the infusion of developers from the other ecosystem into ours. So this is a very important number to think about. So I talked about the fact that we now have devices that spans the entire gamut from a Lumia 520 and to the latest and greatest, the Lumia 1020. Okay? The cool thing is, and something that we need to internalize as a global, as somebody who is providing content to a global consumer, is the fact that there is no such thing as a low-end consumer. Okay? There are consumers and customers who want high-end experience, a smartphone, a true smartphone experience, at a price point that they can afford. That's it. Very simple. They want to be able to be active on their social networks. They want to be, you know, on the go, and they want to get all the content that they would consume through other means, you know, traditionally through desktops and so forth, on their mobile. And they want everything at their fingertips, literally. Everything from entertainment to utilities, to basically as a lifestyle companion. I mean, that's how I would loosely define a smartphone experience, and they want that. And the only difference is the price point with which they can acquire all those experiences. Some may go for these jazzy, snazzy, high-end optics that is available on a high-end camera phone like a Lumia 1020, whereas the others would be very happy with the Lumia 520. The great news is, we've made those devices with great quality, great design language, and something that appeals to a global audience. So that point is something that we need to understand. And actually the proof is very much there that, you know, the more devices we have come out, especially in this calendar year with the Lumia 620s, 520, 720, and more recently 625, the largest Windows Phone at 4.7-inch screen, the app downloads have actually kept pace. It's not that the devices have been going, reaching the consumers, but nobody is downloading the apps, and that would be very bad for the ecosystem. We have a great situation across the globe where consumers are increasingly downloading apps on the devices that they are purchasing. And this is where we need to bridge the gap. Well, you create the app. How do we make sure that the global consumers are becoming aware of all those apps that they can download and enjoy and become aware of? And you will hear a lot more about how we can work together locally to make sure that somebody sitting 10,000 miles across from here is aware of your content and they are able to experience it and give you the business that you are looking for. Some more numbers here. Community size, very important, okay? You know, again, this just talks about the numbers till the first quarter 2013. The developer community has seen, you know, three-digit increases. Apps available, you know, that number is going up in thousands literally on a daily basis. And the downloads per user, and, you know, again, we have to take this from the context that, you know, the Lumia 520 has been shipping only since the second quarter in most of the world. In Australia, it's even later than that. Still, the downloads per user is increasing on double-digit pace, in a very healthy pace. And markets, I talked about this earlier. With all the local language support and everything else in Windows Phone 8, now you see the Windows phones available in 190-plus markets. There are some content that cut across geographical boundaries, such as games. Okay, there are some that are highly localized. Okay, if you're creating something that is based on, you know, the local transportation experience or something like a open table or DIMI, restaurant reservations and so forth, those tend to be highly localized. But then there are those content that cut across boundaries, and again, we can help you to get you the consumer insights from different markets so that you choose the right business model and you choose the right kind of content for the right device. So, on top of this healthy ecosystem that is growing, and again, don't get me wrong, we are not happy where we are. We need to constantly strive. We want to be the number one ecosystem as we go along from a value creation perspective for the developers, okay? And we are on the right track. And another proof point is that, you know, the big brands, both globally and locally, and Nick will talk about the local brands that are bringing their experiences onto the Windows Phone ecosystem later on. The global brand applications are sourced by both Nokia and Microsoft. They are here, and we are engaging with developers across the globe in events like these, as well as in other training events and so forth. And, you know, obviously this will become more and more as we go along, you know, the number of devices that we see to the developers, because developers need real devices to get their creative juices flowing. And we believe that seeding the devices is a critical way of doing it. And you will hear about a lot more engagement that we are doing, that we will do both digitally and physically a few minutes from now. And finally, I will just end this in my thing with this. You know, it's not just about the app numbers, okay? It's great that we have hundreds of thousands of applications in the store. Wonderful. That shows the strength of the overall ecosystem, the general health of the ecosystem, all that is wonderful. But really what is needed is the apps that differentiate themselves with quality, the apps that leverage the unique features of the devices that actually amplify those features. Okay, so you will hear about some other tools like Imaging SDK that really help you to flex your creative muscle and bring innovative imaging solutions onto devices like these. Guess what? We need more. We need more of your innovation. So hopefully you will engage with us and tell us what else we could do to enable you to get those things going. Developer quantity is wonderful, but at the end of the day, we are successful only if you are successful. We want you to maximize the return on your investment. We want you to be successful. And then only we will consider ourselves successful, because we are in the ecosystem business with you, okay? Consumers, it's great that they are presented with app lists and so forth, but it is more than that. Consumers need to be able to do app discovery in a more intelligent manner, in a more friendly and social manner. So if I'm hanging around with friends and colleagues and family and so forth, they got to be able to see the kind of apps that I'm downloading, because there is a chance, and a real good chance at that, that they may share some of those interests with me. So we got to go viral, and we got to get social with regard to how we discover the applications. And you'll hear a lot more about it, and we are putting in the enablers for all these. And when, you know, as we are moving in this path, you know, the proof is coming through loud and clear in all of our sales channels, whether it is business sales channels or our consumer-facing sales channels or operator sales channels. A year or a year and a half ago, one of the biggest complaints was, you don't have an ecosystem. Now that talk has died down considerably. Even when we don't have some of the apps, Instagram is one shining example. It's the message is that there are a number of alternate mechanisms with which one can get to the same level of functionality that they would get with that single app. The one, you know, if there are apps that are not there in the ecosystem, the only reason we are not talking about it is because, you know, we are not in a position to announce the availability of any of those. But suffice it to say that the engagements are well and clear. The ecosystem is growing thanks to all the top brands locally and globally, and also thanks to you developers who are making this ecosystem go. With that, thank you for your time. Enjoy the rest of the show, and I will turn it over to Nick, where you will, and Nick will walk you through some of the cool things that are happening in the local market that is going to enable you to become very successful as we go on. Cheers.
Thanks, Shrikant. So hi, my name's Nick Abbott. I'm going to talk about a couple of things today. First, I'm going to explain how we think about the local app ecosystem and how me and my team think about the types of brands we want to engage. I'm also going to talk about some of the tools and communities and so on that you guys as developers have got to engage with us locally. So Shrikant gave you kind of the state of the nation, and I'm going to narrow it down to more of a local flavor. Like I said, my name's Nick Abbott. First thing I'm going to say before I go on is don't be a stranger. Please reach out to me and anyone on my team. Swing by the booth. My email address is nick.abbott@nokia.com. And we'll do whatever we can to make you guys successful in the Windows Phone business in Australia and globally. Because for us, the job for my team is to make sure that we build out a vibrant community of developers as well as a vibrant community of apps in the local marketplace. We don't get the apps without the developers. Okay, so when we think about apps globally, we think at Nokia and Microsoft working together, we want to get the top brands in each of the different verticals. So, but that means we want to have the top local news apps, the top local media apps, the top local sporting apps, banking, entertainment, and so on. So we work together with Microsoft, and you'll see here sort of the big global brands that we've gone after, as both companies have gone after together, and been very, very successful. And we mimic that locally. But when we break that down into those top global brands in each verticals, there's another pivot that we look at as well, which is the apps that people use every day and the apps that people might use once or twice a month. And we want to have marquee experiences on both of those. So look at something like the Sydney Morning Herald or the Age newspaper. That's something that people use every day. Look at Qantas or Virgin Airlines. That's something that people might use every month, or you know, once or twice a year at most. But it's important to have both of those types of apps in the ecosystem. So we work, you know, with you guys and with all of the different brands to make sure that we're building out the appropriate partners. The other two types of apps that we think about, which are one of which is probably very important to the people in the room here, is those B2B apps. The apps that sit behind the firewall, perhaps, and that people use to access SharePoint, they provision their phones via Active Directory. You give one of the new phones, like a Lumia 520, out as a replacement for a Fleet phone, and you can build line of business apps on top of those phones. So business-to-business apps, or even business-consumer apps, are very, very important to as well as these branded, big branded apps. And the final type of apps that we think about are the breadth apps that don't really start off being one of these brands that we go after, but globally can pretty soon finish up being one of these big global apps, and I'll talk about those a little bit more in a minute. So the previous slide talked about what Microsoft and Nokia do together. What Nokia does is we work with a number of partners to build out premier experiences on Lumia. A lot of apps come to market first on Lumia, or they have an experience on Lumia that's above and beyond what's on the other platforms. So some good examples locally here for Lumia are Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. They're available exclusively on Nokia Lumia phones, on Windows Phone. as well as QuickFlix. QuickFlix is exclusive to, which is a streaming video service, exclusive to Nokia for the next 6 months, I believe. But, so we do timed exclusiveness, or some apps are exclusive for a longer period of time. And some apps like Yelp will have a particular experience. In Yelp's case, it's using augmented reality to stand out, hold your phone up, hold the viewfinder down on the camera, and see reviews of the restaurants and so on that are on the street. So there's some experiences there that are exclusive to Yelp. There's some exclusive experiences to Groupon and a number of the different apps along there. And then finally, we work locally to bring some key brands to market. So you'll see here some of the banks, Virgin Airlines, Ticketek, some of these big brands in the marketplace. And we actively go out and work with those brands to make sure that they've got the skills and so on to bring those apps to Windows Phone. Now, it's great to bring these big brands to market, but if I'm, let's say, one of the big banks, I've got a real finite set of customers that I can engage with, and it's the 22 million people in Australia and the number of those that have Windows Phone and then the number of people that are on my brand. So we, as a big brand, as what I would call a depth partner or a depth customer, I've got a very specific set of customers that I want to go after. And to be honest, these guys, all the big local brands, they're not specifically making money out of their app for the app's sake. The app is another way that they engage with their consumer and they bring their consumers into their brand. It's a very different way of thinking than if you're a game developer or someone that's developing a utility that's ubiquitous across the globe. And so we've got a, I tend to think of there's these depth apps that someone walks into Telstra or JB Hi-Fi or Optus or Harvey Norman and says, does this phone have my bank or my building society or my newspaper, my sporting code? Does it have those things that I'm going to use every day? And that's what drives a decision. But over the longer term, they're using the games, the other pieces. And so for a developer of breadth games, there's this massive massive opportunity in Australia and worldwide to grab on to this tail. So I went and looked at the downloads worldwide of Australian apps, and I took every app that's developed by an Australian developer, and I looked over the past 12 months about where they've been downloaded, thinking that, now I went in thinking that all the Australian apps are downloaded in Australia. And it turns out there's some very, very interesting data that only 5% of downloads of Australian developed apps actually happen in Australia. And this is really interesting because what it means is that for a developer to be really successful, they have to understand how to engage outside of Australia, how to market themselves. And most people really, that's a big challenge. You know, I know a lot of guys that build these games and are very, very successful here and become very successful globally, but it's almost, it's almost just luck that they get picked up by a website overseas or they get picked up somewhere and get promoted. And they, wind up having, hundreds of thousands of downloads and making some great money either through in-app purchase or in-app advertising. One of the things that Nokia brings to the table for this part of the development is a whole engagement across the world through the different ways that we can merchandise your app and promote it worldwide. And we'll talk about that in just a second. So at Nokia, really the value that we bring and that I want to leave with you guys from a developer perspective is really across three different perspectives. We've got a great community of developers and a great community of tools and a way to engage back with us and with each other. You'll see Vaughan Knight speaking later in the week and in all of the sessions that he's talking in and at the booth around this new concept of a developer community called Develop. And it's Develop is a global developer community based around setting challenges and giving rewards. So there might be a challenge of republish your app with a wide tile, use this particular API set and gain some particular experience points. Those experience points then accrue up and you can win free phones, you can win gifts, like headphones and different accessories. You may, if you do particularly well, you may get a global slot in one of our merchandising pieces worldwide so that you're promoted on all of Nokia's sites globally to promote your app. So it's a fantastic way for developers to engage, to learn, win cool stuff, and get your apps promoted worldwide. Similar to MSDN, we have our own Nokia developer portal where we've got great code samples, how-to tips and tricks, and so on. I encourage you all to register on that. Like Dave asked you to register on the local Windows Phone developer piece. This is the Nokia equivalent of that, where we can reach out to you and tell you about contests like Develop, about upcoming roadshows that we have, about new libraries that we might be bringing to market, about webcasts and so on. We have a pretty vibrant community there. We have a strong community of Australians. I think there's 250 or 300 people registered there to publish apps. And then we have a number of unique developer tools and libraries for developers to take advantage of, which are all documented on developer.nokia.com. The two key ones, the mapping APIs, around how to use offline maps, how to use the Here Drive, Here Maps, all of that location stuff, that all the location tools that Nokia have brought to market for Windows Phone, as well as the imaging, what we call the imaging SDK, and how to interact with the camera, the PureView technology, and so on. So they're the really two key assets there. And then the last two, which sort of go to that point I spoke about with the apps in foreign markets and also in local markets, is promotion and monetization. We have a great tool now called AppSocial. It's an application itself that enables you to refer apps, to recommend apps, to like apps, and push them out across peers. So I can say if I come across someone that has a Windows Phone that they've just bought and they don't know what apps to download, I can tap and share all the apps on my phone. I can tap and share a pre-existing list. I can recommend apps. I can push them out. If one of you guys publishes an app today and it's a great app, I can add it to my list of recommended ones and I can push that out to all the people that follow me or follow Nokia Australia on this app list, and I can push it out immediately. So it's something that we can actively promote your app across the community in Australia. And then my team works globally with all of the different merchandisers to promote your app in Thailand, in Vietnam, in wherever. So we can push that out in a programmatic way and get you lots of downloads, lots of promotion, lots of awareness of the particular apps. So AppSocial is one tool that we do that with. And the other way is just general merchandising, pushing it through the Nokia Collection, through the Windows Store, on our Nokia.com website, Nokia.com.au website, through social media. And we're very, very proactive in promoting the apps that are developed locally. So for us, the point I say about make sure you stay in touch, don't be a stranger, is I can't promote your apps if I'm not aware of them. So feel free to come and see me at the booth. Feel free to send me an email. Feel free to reach out through LinkedIn. Feel free to reach out any way that you like. When you bring an app to market, I'd love to promote it. I'd love to have the team promote it. Here's a slide on Develop. There's the URL. We talk about the challenges. We talk about earning experience points and redeeming those for prizes. This has launched in the last couple of weeks. We've had a great response. Again, I'd encourage you to go and register today, start earning those points, and start winning those great prizes. Final thing I wanted to finish on is the range of phones that we have in market. And Srikant spoke about the 1020 being launched today. It'll be available in Telstra and the key retailers on September the 17th. Recommended retail price is $899. I'm sure that there'll be some discounting going on with that. But the demand that we've had for this phone is immense. So it's really exciting to see this particular phone on the market. Not to take away from the 925, which is a fantastic phone with a 9-megapixel camera instead of a 41. To me, I'm not a great photographer. I don't take a lot of photos. The 925 for me is, you know, I weigh the two up and look, you know, do I want this fantastic camera? Do I want this, you know, this fantastic phone? There's, you know, unique features between the two, and I encourage you to come down to the booth and look at the two phones and figure out which is the right one for you guys. For, as a developer, the really interesting phones, besides the high-end flagship models, are the 625, which is a $399 4G smartphone. It's the cheapest 4G phone with a 4.7-inch screen on the market. It's fantastic. Massive battery life. It's a really, really great phone. The Lumia 520 is a $179 phone. Runs full Windows Phone. It's, you know, selling like hotcakes. When I look at the volume of phones, I can't share exact numbers, but there's a massive amount of 520 and 625 being sold in the market, both here and overseas. So if you're a developer that's building Windows Phone apps, I'd really encourage you to look at these two phones and say, wow, this is really the volume of phones that's going out. This is where, you know, all of the momentum is in the market locally, at least now, you know, before the ahead of the 1020. I don't know how many, you know, of those we're going to sell. I presume we're going to sell a whole lot, but right now, there's a ton of 520 and 625 being sold, particularly in enterprise, particularly as fleet replacements. So if you're looking at, you know, taking a SharePoint site, taking some SharePoint infrastructure internally, making it available, if you're looking at perhaps providing some apps that drivers might use or field staff might use, then think about the 625 or the 520 as really the base to build those apps upon. They're rock-solid phones. Now you can buy a 520, you can buy four of those for the price of an iPhone, and that's what people are starting to do in terms of fleet deployments. So I've quickly walked you through how I think about apps in the local marketplace, about the different types of apps that we look at working with partners to build. I've spoken a little bit about develop and some of the other tools for merchandising, and then finally talked about the range. So I'll be hanging around afterwards. I'm going to hand over back to Dave now. But if you've got any questions about development, about the phones, about anything to do with Nokia in the local market, come and grab me or one of the team afterwards. Thanks a lot.
That's absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much, Nick and Shrikanth. Absolutely appreciated that. It's been, in terms of the relationship between Microsoft and Nokia, the partnership was obviously set up a couple of years ago. And I'll tell you what, it's an absolute dream. I think I probably spend more time down at the Nokia office than I do at the Microsoft, just to show you the level of relationship in terms of how the two organizations work. And just amazing devices obviously coming through, and awesome software and great developer tools. So really with that combination, there really is a fantastic opportunity. So the next thing, as I said, this was going to be a bit of a run-through of what sessions are you going to see through the week. So I'd like to invite the speakers up onto the stage. Probably all come up, and just very briefly talk about what the sessions are going to cover, and at the end of that, we're also going to have a very quick Q&A. So if you do want to ask any questions, you can ask them in an open forum, or feel free to come up at the end of the session and ask questions. So in no particular order, but given that Lewis is actually the first of the list, we'll actually probably do it in the order of the list. So I'll hand over to Lewis, who's been of your massive experience really around developing on Windows and Phone, and is now an independent developer consultant.
Hi, my name is Lewis Benge. As Dave just mentioned, I don't work for anyone in particular, but I do specialize in Windows Phone, Windows 8, in a particular area, and that's actually device integration. So I'll look at a lot of the connected experiences. So you sit and look in your office, you sit and look at your house. We've got loads of peripheral devices that sit around us that expose Bluetooth access points, web access points, a whole load of different networking stacks. So I'm actually running a session this week on connecting your Windows Phone to these different devices. So in particular, we're looking at things like the Sphero robotic balls, smartwatches, Windows 8 tablets, point of sale stuff, a whole load of things I've got going on. Just looking at, yeah, getting things talking to one another.
For those who don't know me, Nick Randolph. I guess my focus in tech, I've got three and a bit sessions, is really about taking developers from just being a hobbyist developer through to being a professional or actually doing it as a full-time profession. So I'm running an exam cram session for those people who want to do the Windows Phone exam. I'd highly recommend doing that. Got some curly bits to it. It's worth doing. And then I'm running a session on, focusing around the enterprise. I'm doing that with Dave tomorrow. One later on today around being a professional developer, so talking about the tools and the technologies that are available, going beyond what comes with the SDK, so controls, libraries, those types of things. And then tomorrow we're going to focus on data and focusing on data. And this is really to do with the enterprise space. A lot of consumer-facing apps, you don't really need to take advantage of, you know, how do I think about persistence? How do I think about synchronization? Those types of things. But if you start to get into the enterprise space, then you really need to start thinking about those types of things. So I'd highly recommend those sessions if you're looking at doing more professional-grade Windows Phone development.
Given that Brendan and Andrew couldn't actually make the session, so we've got two sessions which cover off cross-platform development. So the first of these sessions is using more web-based technologies. So again, the idea of being able to perhaps build for the big web and have that application translate down to a smaller device and just some of the considerations for doing that. The session that's been run by Andrew Coates is going to be looking more at native cross-platform development and using technologies like Xamarin. And he's done an application called WordFinder, which I think he's ported across to multiple platforms. So he's going to talk about his kind of first-hand experience as to what it takes to go and build a native app across multiple platforms, which again is something that we all need to be thinking about. So with that, I will hand over to David.
Hi. So I've got two sessions. My first session is Friday, 8 a.m., so only the most dedicated of you will turn up to that one. So the one at 8 a.m. is on Windows Phone Services. So what I cover is most people, when they develop their applications, just develop the app for when the app is open and the user is using it. So I go into the Windows Phone services that you can use to engage the user once they've closed your application. So covering live tiles, toast notifications, background workers, so things you can do locally. But then I go into how you can do things in the cloud. So using Azure Notification Hubs, so then you can do stuff on the back end. So when someone bids on something on eBay, you can go and push down a live tile update or push down a toast notification. So I cover that in the session. My second session on Friday is on speechifying your Windows Phone application. So I cover off the three main aspects of speech on Windows Phone. So I cover off text-to-speech, so how to make your phone speak to you. I cover off how to issue voice commands to your phone app. So if you hold down the home button and just say your app name and then give a command, then you can launch your application and go directly to a screen to start to kickstart the user into doing something. And then I go into the third aspect of speech, which is giving in-app commands. So you can do things like saying, you know, play, pause, go next, etc. So those are my two sessions.
Great. Thank you very much, David. And pan over to Shane.
Cool. And I bought a small deck because I was told I had to talk for 5 minutes. But I won't talk for 5 minutes. But I will plug in. One sec. So I called my little session, The UX Doctor Will See You Now. We're going to run a user experience clinic. We do these for some of our customers where we basically show up for a day and review the user experience of an application, usually sort of under development. And it's a sort of, when we spend a day, it's a very sort of rapid but also sort of very ad lib day where we examine processes as well as the actual application as it stands and talk about planning forward. Obviously, we can't spend a day with all you guys, but in our session, we're going to spend 15 minutes on four apps. I'll come back to them at a moment. I was going to briefly say that I run a design agency called Automatic Studio. I also, because I was sleeping too much, started a business with Nick Randolph called Pixel & Sons. And I wanted to sort of show two apps that we've been working on in the last year, because it really comes back to the point that Nick and Srikanth were making about differentiation. What we see with the apps that we're working on now and the ones that we have in the pipeline is much more thought to fit and finish to sort of the quality of the final result. But we're also seeing two really interesting trends, and one is this cross-platform. So when we were engaged to do Virgin, which we did with Redify, we were designing for both platforms, designing a common experience, but then customizing for both platforms. And Ticketek Similarly, the other interesting thing about Ticker Tech is that we're starting to see a little bit of loosening of the design language. And Microsoft is certainly sort of, they're not overtly approving that, but they're being more encouraging of us to be a little bit more exploratory in terms of how we interpret the design guidelines. I think we saw in the first year of apps that everyone was pretty much applying the template out of the box. We're starting to loosen that up, allow the brands to express themselves uniquely, but keep the interaction models and the navigation models consistent so that people who know other Windows Phone and Windows 8 apps can still navigate them, but have a unique experience. In our little session this morning, we're going to tell you your baby is ugly. It's something I do for a living, and people pay me to do it, which is awesome. We're going to be looking at Andrew Coates' app, Find a Word. We're going to be looking at AU Weather Pro, an app that a lot of people use. We're also going to be looking at a light switch app. Yep, it's called Light Switch, isn't it? Yep. I always got to have a switch light or light switch. It's a light switch, right? And a plain old website, too, just for those poor people who are still working on the internet. That's me. Cheers.
Hey, I'm Vaughan. I'm at Nokia. I work in Nick's team, so come and talk to me about apps. I'm doing a session with Lewis at 1:15 today in the trade show room. It's called Building Your Giant Robot Empire. We're going to be sort of doing, it's a half-hour session, so we're going to do a very high-level overview of some of the device integration that Lewis is going to deep dive into on his session, and I'm going to sort of be showing, you know, how to integrate controllers like the MOGA with Windows Phone. It's half an hour, so it's going to go pretty quick. I have a session today, later today, Lights, Camera, Lenses, which is going through building a camera on Windows Phone, looking at the Nokia Imaging SDK and all the various things that you can do with imaging on the device. And then last session on Friday, for those of you still here, I'm doing a game session, which should be a lot of fun. I've got controllers to hand out to the audience so they can play the game. You don't get to keep them, but it should be a lot of fun. It's about building games across Windows Phone and Windows 8 using Unity. So that's me.
Great, thank you very much. And last but not least, I'd like to invite John up onto the stage as well. John's actually not in the technically in the Windows Phone track, but he's actually covering off a lot of Windows Phone technologies from Telerik. So perhaps, John, if you could just introduce yourself and tell us what you're going to talk about.
Thanks a lot. I'm the last bachelor here. I like long walks on the beach. I'm doing a session at 1:45 today, Dev 214, and we're going to be talking about RAD controls for Windows Phone, amongst other things. We have over 60 controls, 50 design templates, some cloud controls, lots of great stuff. And not to make things too long, we'll also talk about analytics for your Windows Phone apps. Thanks.
Great, thank you very much. Yes, it does sound a bit like Alcoholics Anonymous, doesn't it? So that's pretty much a wrap for this session here. Really, the kind of the main go-tos, anyway, for this session is if you're not already downloaded or registered up on the main developer site for Windows Phone, then absolutely register at dev.windowsphone.com. You'll find a stack of content up there as well in just terms of getting started. As you've spotted, and if you've been along to these sessions the last couple of years, absolutely do register on the wp.msdeveloper.com.au site. It is the main community site that was set up for Australian-based developers. I can give you things like a token so that you can use that for free registration on the Windows Phone Marketplace. So that alone will save you $100. I guess the main thing I ask for you there is basically the opportunity and the right to communicate with you. We also have test devices up there. So say you've got, and I actually think I saw 80% of hands going up in here anyway. But we do have test devices available for you to go and, again, build your apps and actually understand how the real-world performance of those applications will be on a real device as opposed to just in the emulator. And for the folk that are already on there, you'll appreciate we run competitions and workshops. They are always the best way to find out about training events that we're running. And typically events that we run through that community fill up very fast. I think I've actually had the embarrassment of having too many people rock up to various events. And as I said, and as everyone's emphasised so far, then absolutely do connect with us, the Microsoft guys, the Nokia guys, and we can absolutely help you be successful on the Windows Phone platform. So with that, I think pretty much the session is done. So thank you very much.
Now, we do have a few minutes, and I'm very happy for you to ask questions in a public forum. Does anyone have questions or that you're prepared to shout out, or do you want to come up the front? If anyone got any questions they want to ask now? Okay, go for it. So I think Nick can probably, looks like he wants to talk to that one. So it's availability of secure SIMs for secure payments.
So is that a question for the Windows Phone platform or from the operator perspective? Probably for the Windows Phone platform, right? So Windows Phone 8.1, the full feature set hasn't been disclosed yet. As you know, it's not in Windows Phone 8. So I'd be waiting for the Microsoft guys to make I'm passing the buck, but I'm not letting them get away with it. I'll be waiting for them to say what's going to be in Windows Phone 8.1.
That was it? Okay, great. Well, and at the moment, I can't talk about Windows 8.1. There is work being done on that. That's the reality. I'm sorry, that was not a great answer to your question, but you did get a chance to ask it. Does anybody else have questions? Okay, so I guess my answer to part of that will be that there's certainly been updates which are rolled out through on the device for that, but it now becomes down to an issue with the telcos turning that feature on. Can you talk to that anymore?
Again, it's a telco by telco decision, and I'm not across who is doing what with that, so it's an oblique answer. Come down and see us at the booth, and... Carlo, who's the guy that one of the guys in our booth will certainly be able to help you out with who's doing what. I just don't quite know the answer to it yet. There's a question, right?
Yep.
I guess currently the Windows Phone SDK from the Microsoft side is quite open. With this partnership, isn't it likely that Microsoft and Nokia are going to push out the other vendors, especially with these
Yeah, look, it's a great question, and this one came up yesterday just when we were talking about between ourselves. At the moment, there is nothing, certainly things that's trickled down to us, zero information. But what I would say is it's not a million miles away from what we have with Windows 8. I think it was the analogy where we have services out there that come out of Microsoft, and we have our developer tools, and we work with a whole range of OEMs. And they either rock up and be part of that party, and they have full access to the early access to the bits in terms of you see what's happening now with Windows 8.1, and they have full access to the SDKs and developer tools. I'm assuming that's probably what the story will be for in the future as well, and it'll be up to the OEMs in the handset world to decide if they're on board or not on board, but that's really, can't say anything more than that, which is probably what you're expecting. Sure. I think Shrikant looks like he wants to grab the microphone.
Well, I was just reading a blog by Terry Myerson, who heads operating system for all the platforms, and he basically said that, yeah, we made this announcement, but we really will work with the other OEMs as well. So clearly that's a message from, you know, I'm not a Microsoft insider, but as someone in the industry wanting exactly to know the answer to the question like the one that you are asking for, that blog seemed to answer this. So check it out yourself if you want more details on that.
Cool, thank you. He's obviously ahead of me on that one. Thank you. Hope it's pretty much the same answer. Any other questions? Alrighty. Well, thank you very much for coming along to the first Windows Phone session, and hopefully we'll see you at the rest of the Windows Phone track. Thank you very much.